Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Tito's Vodka. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. What's up, everybody? Y'all having a good day? It's Monday. We got basketball tonight. Y'all fired the freak out. I'm so pumped up. You know, you get that Monday, that Friday night. Then you got all weekend to just think and just continue to watch all the great stories like Rick Brunson and Jalen Brunson. I do have to say, I don't know if y'all heard him. Did you hear Mike Brown's comments after the game two?
No, what did he say?
Man, I'm going to send this, John, actually, to Jared. I think this is worth playing. It's the best damn answer I've ever heard a coach give. It was so so damn good, to be honest with you. Like, that's what a coach – like, we talked about coaching. And who was it last week that basically said coaching didn't matter? Wasn't that Darian?
It wasn't me.
I know it was.
It sounded like something that –
It was definitely Darian. He was like, oh, please, coaching doesn't matter. Didn't he say, like, just get rid of coaches? Why pay coaches? He was talking about college football. It was college football coaches that Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
Remember?
He was tripping that day.
Yeah, he was tripping that day. But, like, think about it. All right, if you got Phil Jackson, Greg Popovich, Steve Kerr, Pat Riley, Doc, Eric Spoelstra, you got to draw up the last play in Game 7. Who are you picking?
Run that list again.
Phil?
Nope.
Pop.
Okay.
Spo.
Okay.
Kerr.
Okay.
Riles.
Okay.
Doc.
Everybody before Doc and Phil, honestly. Here's the thing.
I mean, Phil got so many damn championships, and you can say, well, he had Michael Jordan. Well, they didn't win before, Mike.
Here's the thing.
And then they couldn't win with Kobe and Shaq until Phil got out there.
Phil was the best manager of egos.
He's a zen master.
You know, he's on that end. As far as the XO stuff, he leaned with his guys that he had on the bench. I'm not knocking him for it, though, but he had Tex Winter and Jim Clemens.
That's facts.
Yeah, them next to him, and those are the dudes that was really doing the installation of what they were doing. But I won't knock that because, again, Phil's role was to manage the egos.
But he also, if you're going to have that last play, you know you're going to be calm and chilling in that huddle. He's going to go.
All of them can call the right. I mean, that's why they are who they are. We're talking about all Hall of Fame coaches right there. Kerr just ain't got in yet, neither is Spo, but they'll be there. Doc going in this fall. So it's like it's not really a miss. It's just a matter of which one do you prefer.
It really is, isn't it? Oh, I'm sending it to the Sports 56 Twitter. Do you know how to get it to the Sports 56 Twitter, sir? Mr. Jared?
You got it.
If not, I'll just send it.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, look at this young feller doing good work. I even put it to your texter thing. I don't know if that helps. What's he going to do? Like, hold it to the mic? I could have done that. But anyway, the whole point of what I'm trying to say is the NBA Finals, some people out there, some said that this is going to be a very quick coronation of the new king.
That's why he left
Victor Wembanyama. I know why he's out. I know.
I told him that why he left us. He sure ain't leaving us to go to Axe News 5 a little early to avoid me, John, and Jared looking at you crazy.
Roasting your
Knicks
ass.
Knicks in 5. Knicks in the sweep. Not Knicks, but Spurs, excuse me.
Spurs, yeah. Spurs in 5. Spurs in 5.
And I took the Spurs in 7. I'm like, yo, that ain't going to be that easy, dude. This is like real deal. As I've repeated over the last 3 weeks, and we saw more of this on Friday night, the Knicks are some grown-ass men.
And the Spurs play sometimes very foolish and turnovers, and Victor Wembanyama Stephon Castle were not on the same page after that miss by Brunson. Victor gets the ball back and he throws it forward. Castle's got his back, bounces off of him, and then he runs and fouls Jalen and gives him an opportunity to make a free throw.
Let's talk about that fourth quarter in particular. When you look at it from the
stretch. I mean, the Spurs outscored them 29-21 and came up 1 point short after that just
14-0 run.
I mean, the second quarter, I thought the game was over. I was shocked that the dead-gum Spurs were able to mount a comeback. I figured that after, like, you got the first quarter. The Spurs came out there, and you could tell they were firing on all cylinders, got 34 points. The offense was clicking. And then after the first quarter, you were only able to get 18. And I was like, oh-ish.
Me and Eli have fun with you guys like you and Greg with this.
In the third quarter? In the third. Yeah, no. I always like to do
it. Yeah, I know. This is what I'm saying.
If they score a whole bunch in the first quarter, you know what I do? I go under.
Take your swing on the bet. I go under. You're looking at it from the gambling aspect.
Yeah, oh, they shot their load. You know they're not going to shoot it like that. And, yes, it worked out very, very well for me, the under did. And it does. It's worked out very well in this series.
Do
both
you
unders in.
How much of a mental toll that took on Victor that fourth quarter alone?
Mm-hmm.
Because
40 minutes,
was,
bro.
He was slow himself throughout the course of the game. Gat was working his dude.
Yeah, dude. Again,
Mitchell
that's
Robinson
the thing.
Banged
everybody's
on his head.
Banging. Everybody's
OG
hitting.
On him.
And De'Aaron Fox is the only one talking trash.
When OG
Fox the only one with a life.
When and OG, he got up in Brunson's face and he didn't even say a word. He just looked at him all mean mugged him.
When OG dunked on him, you could tell in that jump, the leg's gone.
Yeah.
And I think the Knicks gonna take this because Mitch Johnson has yet to go out of this 9-man rotation that he's been using.
And throw something
and all in
there.
All the matchups.
It's basically
that
a 7-man. Man, this is BS, right. Bro. I'm calling it a 7-man.
You got Biyombo, you got Olynyk, you got Plumlee on the bench. Yeah. You just need those in for bodies, for strength, because Biyombo's strong.
3-4 minutes at a spurt or
right.
Whatever. And sometimes
and
you can play
a zone.
You can play them with Victor, too.
Exactly.
You know
and that's what I'm saying.
So
you
like,
play a zone with them and Victor on the court. So
the two youngest guys are actually splitting the minutes the best. You had Castle play 28. You had Harper play 32. Devin played 38 minutes. Fox, 34 minutes. Champagne played 36 minutes. And Victor played 40 minutes. On the bench, other than Harper playing the 32 minutes, Kelton Johnson got 16 and nobody else got more than 5.
I'm sorry.
Luke Kornet played 8 minutes. Kornet played 8. Carter Bryant played 3. And Harrison Barnes played 5. So, again, this is realistically, let's just say it's an 8-man rotation because those three dudes are basically playing one man's minutes.
Yeah, okay.
And it's heavy on them.
But I got to give it to Mike Brown and his coaching, and like you said, in the clip you sent me, and I got it pulled up right here, you know. So, you know, I got to give it to Mike Brown because he's been, you know, it's two Greg Popovich mentees going against each other.
Facts.
It is true.
And this, by the way, is the perfect answer when after game two, when I heard him say this, all I thought to myself, holy hell, he gets it. Listen to Mike Brown's answer to a very poignant question.
Two games Carl Towns has played as complete a basketball games, I think, after you've seen him play probably this season. What has your journey with him been like from the start of the season to now, embracing his role, embracing the small details to maybe a full maturation at this point?
It's supposed to be like it is, you know. Like it was. He's a great player. I come in with a plan. Maybe the plan doesn't work. Who adjusts, him or me? Me. I adjust. The adjustment's not enough. You know, every once in a while, we're not on the same page. We talk about it. I adjust again. A little bit better. He's feeling good. We talk about it. You know, maybe we take a couple of steps backwards because what I did, he doesn't like, which is fine. It's my job as a coach to fit whatever scheme work we have on both sides of the floor to all of our players. And if you're a great player, I got to make a little bit more adjustments or I got to give a little bit more than you do. And we finally got to a point where he was comfortable, I was comfortable, Jalen was comfortable, OG was comfortable, Mikal was comfortable. And to me, that's what the regular season's about. The regular season is about finding your way so you can get prepared for this time of the year. And there's going to be a lot of ups and downs. And I hope there's adversity. I hope like hell there's adversity, because we have to see if we're strong enough when it comes to being connected to see if we can get through it during the regular season. So when we get here, anything we run into, we've already conquered during the regular season. We'll know how to handle it.
Dude, can you answer a question better? I mean, I'm sorry. That is what a coach's job is. It's to get the best out of your guys, not force a circle into a square peg.
He had the same approach with that Sacramento team that he led them to their first playoff appearance in like 16
Light
years.
Light the beam.
And they fired that man right after he did that.
New York is grateful. See, New York's grateful that everybody overlooked Jalen Brunson. New York's grateful
to
Josh Hart. Remember they grabbed him?
Attention to who running your organization, and also to the talent that he was dealing with in Sacramento. They were young and learning. Mm-hmm. He's taking that same approach.
But now he's got vets, too.
With grown-ass men.
Full-grown-ass men.
And you know, I never put that into account because he had De'Aaron Fox as a player.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And that's why De'Aaron
been right. Shut out. You know, he's been playing slow on that ankle because he's not trying to hurt it. But my thing is, if you're not trying to hurt your ankle, you need to say, hey, Mitch,
I do have to say, Fox in game two, by the way, had his best game by far in over a month.
Game
seven against Oklahoma City was good, too.
If I'm Fox and I'm playing tonight,
I don't remember him missing, man.
I'm going to Mitch and I'm saying, Mitch, start the young buck. He cooking. If you get him going as soon as they come out and you got these guys trying to run and have to account for Harper, and then let me come off the bench and give them a right hook after that left hook, we can win this game.
As a veteran that's knowing that they're not 100% and that can be helpful doing that, if he feels that he can do that, absolutely. But sometimes, that ego will get in the way because they still thinking they are who they are.
Well, it should have gotten in the way in game two when he passed that ball to Wimby instead of taking the last shot. Even if it was something Mitch Johnson.
That's a good point.
Even if it was something Mitch Johnson wrote up. And this is what I think Darian meant by it's not the coaches don't matter. Because at the end of the day, you're getting paid to play. You're getting paid to win. So sometimes as a ball player, I know you gotta to keep the chemistry between the coach and the players and the atmosphere of the locker room up. You gotta do what the coach draw up and stuff like that sometimes. But sometimes as a player, you gotta go out and say, hey, it's time for me to play ball.
Yeah, not these grown ass men though. Not time for have me to play in this out. System.
Look it's at, time for me to play ball.
Look at like them in a timeout. Watch this Knicks team. Like it's impressive. Mike is coaching. Rick Brunson is coaching. You know, all the guys are quiet and listening. And they all have this look of, we are at work and this is business. You don't see them just like, Kat, who's as saucy and sassy as any male I ever seen.
He got one of the best
things. Is focusing, like he is playing basketball and he ain't worried about the other BS, and you don't see him flopping and all that BS. And you got to think about this. In game two, Knicks were able to pull this game out by one point when they didn't shoot as well as the San Antonio Spurs. The San Antonio Spurs shot 47% from the field. Knicks 42%. They shot 38% from the three-point line as the Knicks shot 39, basically a wash. The dead-gum Spurs shot 27 free throws to the Knicks, 21. The dead-gum Knicks had 34 personal fouls. Not 30. 23 personal fouls. They had 20. It was very tight. The thing, though, that it is, it's like the big ones, like, you think of San Antonio, 7 blocks. That's big, right? Victor had 4 of them. Dude, you realize the Knicks had 6 blocks in that game? And they were getting it from everywhere, from Mitchell Robinson, from Landry Shamet, from Josh Hart, from Karl-Anthony Towns. You got 2 by OG. Like, they were playing team basketball. And guess what? The Knicks out-rebounded the Spurs.
They had 10 offensive boards to 5 offensive boards by the Spurs. That is huge.
Second chance.
Second chance points are big. And the other thing for me is
live ball turnovers.
Assist. 29 assists to 22. And he doesn't look like much, but hey, man. That's 8 more assists. That's more team basketball. And again, when you got Jalen Brunson, whose shot is not even falling, folks. He is shooting terrible, and they are finding ways to win.
They taking over the immaturity.
And again, Cat's playing out of his damn mind, bro.
They're taking over the immaturity, and they're not beating themselves. They're allowing the Spurs to do stuff to beat themselves and doing the simple things of just capitalizing and making them pay for it.
And then their bench is being more
comfortable. Hell, like Lil Alvarado's coming in there and playing decent.
Miles McBride off the bench giving you 2 threes, 3 threes. That helps tremendously.
And something you that know? They're doing with Jalen Brunson is they're not allowing him to get hunted on the defensive end. By the time they get the rock back over and you get ball action on his side, his backside help is already in place, whether it's OG, whether it's Michael, whether it's Josh, whoever.
And Josh had the worst game in game 2.
Right.
Brunson shot the worst that I've seen Brunson shoot. But, boy, was Cat on. Bridges was on.
Yeah, Bridges would hurt them. I was watching the game with my mom. She was like, Bridges, them players I hate because it's like once they on, you really can't stop them.
And what was up with Cat on the boards, by the way? Four of them. I mean, he had, didn't he have, I think, 4 offensive rebounds on 13 rebounds? I mean, Cat was busting ass, bro.
His numbers overall, like his scoring's a little bit down from the regular season, his rebounds just a touchdown, but he's much more efficient. And defensively, he's got one of the best stats I think I've seen in the playoffs. I posted it. I think you may have saw it too. It's 10 defenders in this league that guarded Wemby, and they combined all of them in the possession by possession. They combined all 10 of these dudes combined had 8 turnovers. They forced 8 turnovers against Wemby all year, right? Cat by himself, he had 9. On like 120 damn possessions of him defending Wemby.
He's making Wemby make decisions based off of, oh my gosh, I can't seem to get around him.
There you go.
I can't seem to outpower him. I can't seem to tower over him and just dunk the ball.
He's overthinking. Yeah.
16 turnovers by the Spurs, bro.
Wild.
4 by Fox, 4 by Wemby, 4 by Castle.
And that stat that I was saying went for the player was all year, but it's like the time that he's guarded Wemby, he's made him turn the ball over more times than any other 10 defenders that Wemby have seen combined.
I mean, I ain't going to lie. Dylan Harper basically, honestly, been the best damn Spur, and they didn't even play him in the fourth quarter.
But he also
played, 2 minutes of the fourth quarter in game number 1.
He also got a few of those brain fart turnovers that allowed ball in the fourth quarter, too.
Well, he had 2 fewer turnovers than Castle and played 4 more minutes.
Like, yeah, he
shot better, had more
points.
He's
going to be a monster in this league as a guard. And, yeah, like, I don't
6
know.
Rebounds
gotta,
by Harper.
Miss Johnson got to get it together. Keldon Johnson trying to play 2 outside of his role. He's trying to make every you know, minute count and trying to be a part of the contribution of the win and stuff like that with points. And everybody don't understand. Everybody not going to contribute to the points if we win, you know. We need people to be Josh. They need a Josh Hart. I need you to go out there and do the intangibles. It's like Carter Bryant came in and did a dump turnover when he just drove straight to the paint.
And that's the only thing he did?
Threw the ball out. That was really the only thing he did. He got subbed out.
I was
going to
say, the thing that was the only thing he did was come in and have a complete brain fart.
Somebody said it after he made the turnover. I think it was Richard Jefferson. He was like, yeah, he just trying to come in and make his impact on the game. And sometimes your impact ain't got to be a highlight. Sometimes your impact is a quick screen that nobody was waiting on, that you got champagne open or somebody like that, you know?
Or if it's a highlight, it could be diving on the floor for a loose basketball.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Something that's, you know, momentum change.
Exactly.
That can make something happen like that. Like you said, it ain't got to always come in the form of offense. I agree. That's youth. You know, just thinking that's the easiest way to make a splash anyway. You know what I'm saying? But it's not always the available way, more so than anything.
What do y'all think we're going to see tonight? First game in New York, the finals. They're up 2 games up 2 games to none. And Victor and them got the rebound. The game's tied. And he throws it away and then fouls him.
Well, that's because they, even in that moment, that showed how young Mitch Johnson is. Because as soon as you got the ball, timeout.
Timeout.
And even if you're not going to do
the timeout. We got the lead. Timeout.
I would have did a timeout right there just because Jalen, I thought, shot the ball too early.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what the
hell? And that's a shot he always makes, though, too. But he's been missing all those little, like Brunson right now is struggling shooting the basketball. It's crazy.
Why Mitch didn't go time out there?
Because he thought they were going to get up and down the court easy.
Well, you got a defense,
on their heels.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I get that, too.
But as many turnovers as they had at the time, 15, and Wimby's already sitting on 4.
To that fourth quarter and how it started, what they went through. You got to remember that Wimby had to pick themselves up, and he had to get on the run himself. Then they had to get the other timeout to check his teammates, get them back up. So all of this is taking its toll.
What do you think about Castle turning his back?
He did what I would have did. You see that this man, you know, can handle the basketball. Granted, he's 7-8 feet tall, but he can get the basketball up the court, and he looked like he's going to put pressure on their defense. I'll fill in the lane.
I'm just telling you one thing. You ain't seeing those stupid plays by the dead gum New York Knicks.
I can't agree with that, Jay Ham. I'm thinking as a guard.
I'm looking back at least just in case.
I mean, he looked back multiple times, and dude takes the step forward.
But I don't know who's telling them. Like, this is my thing. Every quarter, after when it's 2 minutes left, Wimby do not need to be bringing the ball up the court.
No.
Wimby needs to be down the court, ready to go through the motion, that whatever play they about to do. Mm-hmm. Because him having to bring the ball up and down the court, that takes
has
a toll
everybody,
on your,
honestly, everybody just starts watching too. Him. But everybody just starts watching for the Spurs and stands around.
His IQ is good enough to know in that situation how to assess it. He just lost it up here for the
22
second.
Years old, y'all.
He just it's a mental brain fart.
Pressure burst pipes.
I think that overtook from how the quarter went. Mm-hmm. Because as the game got tighter, you saw everybody's booty got tight. At that point, it's like, we got to make detailed the right decision. And ain't nobody trying
to
mess
up. It's weird, though. I thought
the
Spurs came out in the fourth quarter and were bumping.
They were flat for a second, then they hit their stride.
I mean, they hit that one little. Yeah.
They hit two, really.
Yeah, like.
They hit two strides.
Also, the free throws in that game were a big thing because it was one point they were down.
How many did they miss? 11? Missed 9. That's it.
No, I'm saying it was one point where they had missed 7 free throws and they were down by 7. So they make all their free throws. At that point, that game was tied. Now you're not stressed to rush your offense and score to hurry up and get this game back tied and things of that nature.
So, formula that we're discussing here, it's all little bitty stuff that's killing San Antonio.
Yeah.
Just little bitty stuff.
Veterans do not struggle with.
It's like they're not here by accident.
Right.
But we're seeing the real-time struggle of what it takes to win in there. And it's like we know they're good enough, but now they just have to put it out there and apply it. And it's tough when you're playing a veteran team who don't beat themselves.
Right.
It makes it even tougher.
It was just it was impressive to me, though, just the fact that, I mean, like, when that quarter kicked off, I mean, golly, what was the lead? I'm trying to remember. It was like 12?
Something like that. It was, I'm not going to say comfortable because it's the NBA playoffs.
It's the NBA, yes.
The largest lead the Spurs had in game 2 was 12 or 14. And then the Knicks came back, and when they got the first lead of the game, I think it was in the third quarter, and then after that, they went up by 12.
No, they went up. They was up before the half. The Knicks was up at the half.
Okay, yeah, they went the whole first and second quarter without the lead. Then they got the lead in the second half going into halftime.
I mean, the Knicks ended up starting to roll that ass, you know, in that third quarter. Like, when they went into the fourth quarter, it was a 12-point game.
It was 31-18 second quarter for the Knicks. Then they won 28-23 in the third.
Yeah, Knicks were up. The Knicks just looked like they were in complete control. And even with like 6 minutes in the game, it was 95-83. Knicks were still up 12 points.
Carl Towns now has 90 playoff assists for this single playoff, only joining the likes of other bigs like Jokic. You know, I think Draymond may have had one, something like that, but good luck. Carl's right now, Carl's the leader in the clubhouse finals MVP.
Yeah, that's what I've been seeing. I've been seeing a lot of people make a joke talking about I did not have on my bingo card Carl Anthony Towns finals MVP.
Because they let the perception that Jimmy Butler put out there about him continue to reign supreme.
Then one of my homies said Carl Anthony Towns turned into Boogie on that picture when he trying to bag down Boogie. He said he turned into Boogie, and now Wimby is him from that picture.
It was 97-83 with 6 minutes and 4 seconds left. And the Knicks did not score a point until it was tied up, 97 all. And then finally, OG made a free throw to get to 98. And then 99. And then it was, they got.
Somebody put it at 100. I remember the
miss. Yeah, it was 197. And then all of a sudden, Wimby gets another alley-oop. And with 2 minutes and 27 seconds,
they got the roll and took the lead.
I mean, they literally went 4 minutes.
Yeah, with no buckets. In
the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself,
on the road, dog. That is a grown man team.
Mm-hmm. But when you thought when the Spurs took the lead, 103-102.
Yeah, that's the Wimby. That was the one where Wimby rolled it. Right.
And then I believe Wimby didn't. Wasn't it not an and one?
He did get an and one.
Yeah, and then put him up by two. I was like, oh, hell. And then, of course,
Jalen Brunson can't
make a shot to save his life all night with 30 seconds left in the game, pulled up that 13-foot fade shot. It was beautiful. Tied it up 104-104. And then you're like, oh, dang, this thing's coming down to tight. Yeah. And then the Spurs missed the field goal. Then, of course, Jalen Brunson misses a field goal. And then the stupid Victor Wembanyama gets the rebound with 11 minutes in a 104-104 game. Passes it up.
Let's not call him stupid. Let's call him ignorant. You know, ignorance is
a lack
of knowledge. You know, his age is ignorant.
With 11 seconds and you have the basketball in a tie basketball game in the finals, you sure as hell better take the last bleeping shot. Period.
Well, that's why I said De'Aaron Fox should have took that last shot. He's a veteran, you know.
And you got lucky too,
because Brunson only made one of his free throws, didn't he?
Yeah, he went one for two. Yeah.
And you got a chance to win it.
And if I'm Victor right there on that last shot.
Why are you shooting a 20-foot jump?
I'm not settling for that midi. I'm going to the cup.
Especially
when y'all in the bonus.
I'm going
and
to
all
the cup
them.
To dunk on whoever exactly. there. And if they foul me on the way there, yes.
Exactly.
I'm with you.
Because who going to stop him from getting to where he want to get to?
I mean, a 20-foot jumper, like, in a one-point game when you're a 7-foot-5 fool, man.
But it's because it was Mitchell Johnson. If you paid attention all night, he was just raising up and shooting over Mitchell Johnson. He was going, 1 for 3 every time he shot over Mitchell Johnson?
He would have went.
I keep calling him Mitchell Johnson. Mitchell Robinson.
I would have went right at Mitch.
Exactly.
I would have went right in his chest and made him foul me. And I'm not going to the cup like with the intent of I'm getting fouled. Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to the cup with the intent of I'm going to score, and if you foul me, fine.
Yeah, he should have took.
I'll beat you at the line if you foul me.
He should have took Mitchell to the right. That way Mitchell arm bars mm-hmm. their right arm where the pinky is.
He's doing a fantastic
job,
though.
Tap that pinky a little bit. Slap that pinky a little bit on your way to the
layup. Listen to him on the sound bites. He talking. He communicating. He let everybody know, I got your back. OG, I got your back. This like Mitch doing a great job, man. Just being the defensive anchor and giving the folks hell out there.
Man, we've been talking about the Knicks. They got a 2-0 lead over the Spurs. Game 3 tonight from New York right now. New York's what, a 2.5? Is it a 2-point favorite? Is that what we got?
Last time I saw it, I think I saw the Spurs was +2.5.
I'm looking at Knicks -1.5.
Damn, it's going the other way. Yeah, everybody's jumping on them Spurs, buddy. We'll see, man. We'll see. We're going to talk a whole lot more about it, but I do want to remind you, if you are a business owner, the Knicks basically of business owners currently, that would be EnviroMaster. EnviroMaster is a commercial cleaning company that protects your brand. They come out there and they take care of everything that you need. They have so much stuff they do. And again, if you're like, well, do they do my business? Do you have offices? Are you a restaurant? Are you in retail? Are you a school or a daycare or a warehouse or a healthcare, a gym, a government building, commercial kitchens, automotive industries? You name it, they take care of the industry. And they do everything from pressure washing services to drain cleaning services, tile and grout, restroom and hygiene services. Heck, they got a hand hygiene program. Sanitizing and disinfecting is their game, bro. They do whatever. You deserve a space that shows your pride in every detail. And ViroMaster is the commercial cleaning company that delivers more than just surface shine. They go deeper to protect your reputation. Odors and germs and viruses will kill your business. Let EnviroMaster make sure that they don't kill yours. Go to enviro-master.com. You can also call. They have a, you know, easy way to get in touch with them. Their owner, Tom Whitley, so kind that he literally said, give them my dead gum cell phone. That's how serious he is. And they have already 300 businesses in Memphis, and they want to take care of you. Call my man Tom Whitley at 901-356-8282 or go to enviro-master.com. Man, I got Wood and Betts all next. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
You have opinions?
I think it's over.
Of course you do.
I don't think it's that simple.
Everyone does.
I got all the answers.
Hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255.
Now, this is one of those things when things get too heavy, just call me Helium.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Tito's Vodka. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
The New York Times.
Extra read all about it.
You can win anywhere.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy Johnny Radio. It's going down in New York tonight. Big, big night, baby. You know why? Because the NBA Finals Game 3, and you got the Spurs, who everybody and their grandmother was ready to crown the new king of the NBA as Victor Wembanyama.
Hey, look, that's why we came back in on that. You don't know, that's J. Cole Bourne Center, but the New York Times,
mm-hmm.
50 on it. I think the Knicks take it tonight, John. I can't lie.
I like the song. I like Madison Square Gardens and how it's going to be bumping. And I do have to admit, man, this veteran team's been coaching, been playing so well. And just hearing Mike Brown after game two and his comments, I played them for you earlier. Like, that's a coach. I mean, and that's what the regular season is for. Learning everything you can about your team and what is it that they do best and put them in a position to be successful. And that's what they are doing. And they have been successful throughout the playoffs. What is this, 14 games in a row or something?
13
games in a row. Already counted tonight, huh?
And if they win, if they were to win the next two, they would tie the longest playoff win streak. With 15, they've matched Golden State, and they've already matched the 2001 Lakers with eight playoff road wins.
They ballin'.
Which is very impressive.
It is very impressive.
Going back to what you were saying about Mike Brown, though, just in those terms, it's like I was saying this earlier in the year as well. When they faced adversity, they dealt with it. Their captain dealt with the issue. He called everybody out. Hey, we do need to play better. Mike Brown said the same thing. The adjustment is not about what I'm doing, this, that, and the other. It's about you guys giving the max effort. They stepped up. They gave their max effort. They finished, second in the East. They continued on, got through the playoffs, fell down 2-1 early to Atlanta, had that same conversation again, and they fixed that, and they hadn't lost since April 23rd. We are at June 8th.
Whoa.
Last time they lost was April
23rd. Damn, if you're in New York and you've been stacking cash on the Knicks every night, you've just been breaking the bread. I wish I was in New York and breaking the bread in the fan and jumped on this bandwagon a little earlier.
I'm trying to tell you. I will say this for the night. I saw the under was 216.5 over under. Take the under because they've been going under the whole time.
Every game. Every single game. This will be the night they score 240 game. Points. I was going to say. I'm just curious to see what kind of adjustments the Spurs come out and try to make tonight.
It ain't a whole lot of them.
I was going to say, it's I don't not, think there is. The thing is, you got to cut tighten, down on your turnovers.
Tighten your
stuff. But they playing in the Gardens, and I think all that noise,
yeah.
And it's the finals, I think it's going to get the castle. I think we see game one, game two in the Western Conference Final Castle, about eight turnovers, in that atmosphere.
Push it too much.
Six to eight turnovers, trying to do too much to shut the
UConn,
crowd up,
He's a UConn kid, though. He might feel at home in the
car.
Yeah,
true.
Okay. But we'll see tonight.
You got a point, though. You definitely got a point to where on the road, young
16
player
turnovers
doing
in
too
game
much.
Two.
Yeah.
That was one turnover, by the way. One turnover too many because that turnover, you fouled Jalen Brunson. And then
we put focus on that one, but it was a couple of ones.
There was
where they in transition and they make an errant pass and it goes back the other way. And it's like
when they getting trapped when they get to the paint and then they can't get it to Wimby, so they try to throw it to the opposite corner or the opposite wing.
Yeah,
and they were stealing that all night. Ananobi stole it like twice off of that.
OG and Mikal play free safety. They want to get that.
They was getting that all night.
29 turnovers in the first two games. They're down 0-2. 29 turnovers.
But that's they are taking care of the ball better because one person had that over two games in the Western Conference Finals.
That was Steph by himself.
But that's 14.5 turnovers a game.
Yeah. And so they doing well, but they still the youth is still causing them to turn the ball over too much. Yeah. De'Aaron Fox not trying to he playing to not get hurt. He's making dumb decisions. He's not taking shots when he needs to take the shot.
It's easy to really kind of pile on Mitch, but I'm not necessarily piling on Mitch Johnson. It's just more of just an analysis of real time of where a first-time coach in this position is.
And you saw in the very first game, by the way, if we go back and remember game one, I thought it was probably the worst half of basketball I've watched the Spurs play in the entire playoffs. Did they break 40 points in the second half in game one?
No, they didn't.
It was because I know they had like
exact total.
I think they scored 20 and 19 or something.
They scored, 40 right on the head.
21 points. 21. 40 points. That ain't getting it done, bruh.
After a 55-point first half.
Mm-hmm. And then the worst 2 minutes stretch that I've seen by the Spurs all season. If you remember, they didn't score a basket, bro. Yeah. That game ended on a 11. Was it an 11-0
run? Hell, they didn't even get to the line.
Yeah, dude. Like, again, game two, Knicks, I thought, had it in hand. I mean, in the fourth quarter, when you're up 12 points.
They withstood that kind of run,
with
dog.
6 points, man. They were up. With 6:57, they were up 12 points. And then you have a Knicks team that went 14 minutes.
The Knicks have been balling since the first quarter of game one. They haven't scored under 19 points in a quarter since game one.
That's true.
I mean, they haven't scored under 20.
Under 20.
Oh, they did in that first one. That was the Knicks came out hot, Brunson got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it like 13 to like 5 or something at the beginning?
Because
I had the Spurs minus 1, the Spurs minus 2.5.
They lost a 16-point lead that first game.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And then ended up winning by 10 anyway. So far, Knicks, two games have brought their winning total from 19.4 way down since they've won the last two games by a combined 11 points. But they are still winning 13 straight, and tonight they're in the Garden. Rick's Powder Coating, by the way. Go to rickspowdercoating.com. They're really, really simple, man. You can go to that website. You put your full name, your phone number, your email. You hit a button, and they're going to call you back. Same day. Talk to you. Same day. Free estimates. and they've been doing this for 24 years. It's locally owned. It's a family-owned business, man. Rick's been up in here. He's so nice. Him and his wife. His wife's beautiful. He's a pimp. They got a great business. The largest batch ovens in the Mid-South, and I'm telling you, they do everything metal. Automotive, ornamental, you name it, they do it. They are the premium powder coating solution for your Memphis and all over the nation. Go to rickspowdercoating.com. I want to go to Hardinwood.
This is Access Hardinwood.
And I'm starting off with something that just pisses me off more than even Brendan Sorsby and the NCAA and the stupid judge. Do y'all know who Scooter Braun is?
I did until like 2 minutes ago.
Well, I didn't know much about him until about 5 minutes ago. 10 minutes ago, maybe.
Why he pissed you off?
Because his girlfriend is Sydney freaking Sweeney, bro. That hot girl. Boy, I almost got myself stupid.
Why are you hating on this man because he pulled Sydney Sweeney?
Well, because he's a 44-year-old D-bag. Remember, Taylor Swift can't stand him. She completely redid all of her lyrics because he was her. He bought her album.
You listen to Taylor Swift, man?
No, I don't know it. That was the first time I heard about it. And he was also Justin Bieber's manager. Have you seen how messed up Justin Bieber is?
I tried to stay away from Bieber news, but I feel.
So he makes all his money off the backs of other people while letting hotties. Because before that, he was dating the girl Yale Cohen, who was like dating Derek Jeter before he got married. Some fine, fine, rich Canadian woman.
Why are you hating on this man, man? Tell me why.
Because I'm jealous. He's ugly. I'm 10 times better looking than him. So I knew if I had money right now, Sydney Sweeney, I'd have her in the bag. Dude, I'm 10 times better looking than him.
But you got heart in the house, dog.
Yeah, I'm about to blow it up. And then I'm coming for you, Scooter, and your girl.
Oh, my God.
Yeah! It's on, son. Like, dude, this guy just ticks me off. Like, I never even seen him. Like, I didn't even know who he was until Tay-Tay was pissed. And when I found out he was dating Sydney Sweeney, I've just been obsessed. Because, like, how can you not? Like, she's hot. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I know Sydney Sweeney.
She's got the dead eyes.
Yeah, I know who she is. I just didn't know who this cat is and why you hating on him.
Because look at her and look at him.
I'm not concerned with him. I don't look at men, John.
I know he's ugly, but you know, like, when you see a hot chick with an ugly dude, do you not try to scoop up?
No, I'd be like,
I step on in.
I'd be like, dude, that must be a real Mac.
Because
he is a funny-looking dude, but
I'm putting on my shoulder
piece.
Pads, brother. I'm blocking.
I can't.
You're dirty Mac.
I'm blocking. I'm playing defense and offense, because then after I block, I'm trying to score a touchdown.
You're dirty Mac.
Physically, yes. Whooping her ass, that's a whole nother deal. But if he just pulled and he just got game, I mean, I can't hate on the main man of the game.
If he's dirty making now, we got to keep him away from the Tito. Hey, he gonna call up Sydney Sweeney and be like, "This deal would never be good enough for you."
Damn right.
He may be just that whack of a dude that he was able to pull Sydney Sweeney. We found out that she's super whack too. She just looked good. And that's okay too.
No, she does look great. Like, she's hot. Damn, bro.
John ready to whoop the man ass, man.
Oh, man. Guess what?
John, I come from the era of Biggie lyrics. Heartthrob never. Black and ugly as ever. However. Biggie was pimping, man. Look at that old Big. And he ain't look better than nobody. He pulled Faith Evans, though.
Hey, and that's a double entendre, because Biggie with them eyes couldn't look better than no
one. This is true, but also, they ain't really saying much for pulling Faith Evans, because it seemed like everybody had a turn with Faith Evans, so, hey.
Okay, guess what? Speaking of Taylor Swift, I got news about her and that sorry-ass tight end, Travis Kelce.
Man, I don't even give Kelce no respect.
He used to be a football player, and now he's become a damn...
He's a house husband, huh, John?
Dude, no, he's a... Like, could you imagine even talking to her? Flat ass.
Especially when you look at the chick that he was with before.
Like, yeah, dude. By the way, serious. You could have bounced a quarter on her butt and it would have hopped, bounced up in the air and bounced right on her other cheek. If you threw a quarter at her, at Taylor Swift, it's just hitting and going straight down like that the chalkboard. Like, you can't even rub her booty. It'd be like it goes straight from her back to the back of her legs.
We're terrible.
Back to the back of the legs.
We are terrible, but we are right.
It's true, man. Flat ass. Man. And by the way, the reason I bring it up, because, you know, guess Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce plan to get married on July 3rd. And this sounds so weird. They plan on getting hitched right by Madison Square Gardens. Not in it, but right next to it. And by the way, I don't know if you know this, over the weekend, five people were slashed by a lunatic in Penn Station right there where their wedding's going to be.
I mean, this dude's
yeah, wrong. Just bring down 1,000 of your best friends to come on down for a knife fight.
The slasher, honestly, he was just doing work for the Knicks, man. That's all.
Dude.
He's a Knicks fan. He's just over-exuberant right now. He's tripping out there.
That is buck-ass wild.
Oh, man. New York, I tell you.
New York!
Like Ho said, it ain't been the same since Snoop came through and crushed the buildings. That might change, though.
This is so crazy. Like, who gets married like on a side street outside of Madison Square Gardens by Penn Station?
I guess they just wanted the building as the backdrop.
It's probably easier to block off the street and stuff like that, knowing it's Taylor Swift.
She might got some pull,
right?
Like that.
Like, yeah, that easier flow of traffic. And
oh my
stuff
gosh,
like that.
This stupid ass article. Listen to this. This will surely be the wedding of the century.
No, it's not.
Not since Princess Diana and King Charles. What the hell are you talking about, flat ass and TK? Come on, bro. And you know Travis Kelce is such a D-bag in real life. We saw your stupid video show where you dated all those girls. Remember that one? Yeah, Travis Kelce looking for love or something.
She had a date show.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I was lost on that one.
He's been wanting to be a Taylor Swift.
Is that why he was
bebop Backstreet Boy his whole life?
Okay, well, why he started getting his hair cut by black barbers then?
Because he had a black girlfriend for a while, and then now he's back to flat ass.
There you go.
Let's see. He was in like Catching Cal 2016. 50 women from 50 states vied to win the heart of pro football player Travis.
I mean, a few of them had some of them, though, because Eric Decker even had a show. Remember, we ain't seen Eric Decker since.
Dude, they did a bad job. I would have been pissed off with. I mean, out of the 50 girls, there's a few of them that are not.
Travis like, Kelce got her playing Flavor of Love.
Like, look at this one, Crystal from Florida. Like, you're bunk.
He can't be out here playing for the love of Ray J, man. That's for Ray J and Flavor Flav to do.
Flavor Flav.
He out here playing Love Island,
right?
So they're gonna get married right where the slasher was.
Hey, that might be why.
Shoot, knowing New York, he'll be out by then.
That's what I'm saying.
Be ready to roll by July 3rd.
They've been, because you got to think about it, they would have been had the parade. They've been doing all other stuff, and they get ready to celebrate the 4th at that point. Yeah,
I was just about to say, that's a little too dangerous, too, because it's 250 years. You telling me somebody ain't going to get hurt on July 4th? Somebody going crazy. We 250 years of being Americans.
Oh, yeah.
Is that, that's this year?
Yeah.
250?
Yep.
250.
Hell yeah. 1776.
That's why they trying to do that dump stuff on the White House lawn this weekend.
What do you mean?
The UFC deal.
Yeah. They got a UFC fight?
Yeah, they got a
UFC fight.
Fight
on the lawn.
Who's fighting, though?
Don't, a lot of them dudes pulled out. So who
Man,
knows?
Man, I want to know.
After they just had a shoe stink,
UFC
as Gold Member would say,
fight.
At the White House.
Dude, that's kind of actually pimp, man, to be honest with you. I mean, if I had to go to the White House, I would rather see a UFC fight.
They spent $60 million of our bread to build that stuff.
Okay, well, I don't want to know about that. Well, they should be making the money. What do you mean UFC's not paying?
That was a free event. UFC's covering the expenses.
50 from being.
People can just come up and watch. They supposed to have a concert too, but everybody.
Dude, how dope would that be? Is it going to be a badass? Like, is who's fighting?
Don't nobody know, Judd, because it's it's a POS event.
I mean, I don't know how. I ain't going to lie to you. If we're celebrating 250 with a UFC fight, I kind of like it. That's badass. Yo, we're going to throw some dukes for 250. Shoot off some fireworks.
I would say boxing event. I think boxing is more American than mixed martial arts.
I think
arts,
it's because boxing, you know? Is, by the way, well, name a boxer.
Javante Davis could pull a big crowd. Terrence Crawford could pull a big crowd.
I'm just saying, right now, boxing is not as.
I heard Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather are going to be fighting again.
I don't need to see two geriatrics eating Geritol all day and getting enemas. Like, fight each other, bro. Soft-ass knuckles, soft-ass jaw. I want to see warriors up in that joint.
I believe Floyd can still box. You just can't hit Floyd.
I'm going to see some warriors tonight because we got Knicks Spurs game 3. I'm rocking with the Knicks. Who you got?
Me the Knicks, man.
What do you got, Jared?
Give me the Knicks.
Knicks.
That means it'll be 2-1 when we return.
No kidding. Get out there, make that world a better place. See you on the flip side.
Start your day with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10, right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.